Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, in keeping with the fall season, we are going to be talking about a food that, well, it's been a part of our lives for a lot of years, and it's one of our favorites, and I have special recipes that I love to do it with. What is it? It is the sophisticated fungi called mushrooms. And we're going to be talking with King Babel, mushrooms for health and longevity. What can it do? Well, how about helping your immunity, giving you physical strength, enhancing the sexual function, fighting cancer, heart disease, memory loss, that lowly little thing that pops up out of the ground, seemingly blooming into full form within just a short period of time. Well, we're going to find out a lot about this fascinating, fascinating food that people for centuries have loved. Ken, welcome to the show.
Oh, glad to be with you.
Now, we
I've heard
have
so many good things about your show.
Well, thank you, Ken. Your last name is Babel. Now, you have two letters behind your name. What is it? CN, is that Certified Nutritionist?
That's correct.
Well, that is fascinating because you apparently have been very much involved in the natural food and supplement industry. You love your work, and you've written a number of books, but this one is your latest. What is
Yes.
it about mushrooms that are so magical for you?
Well, I'm just fascinated with mushrooms, and I think that's because they are so unique. When you think about it, you know, they're not a vitamin. They're not an herb. As you mentioned, they fall into what we sometimes call the third kingdom, the fungal family. And, you know, that might turn a few people off, you know, when they think of moldy bread or something. But we have to remember the, you know, penicillin is a fungus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they... They have wonderful nutritional benefits, and of course they've been used for thousands of years as both food and medicine, having been revered by Asians in particular, an important part of traditional Chinese medicine. They were so valuable at one time that only the royal families were allowed to have them.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, I was amazed with some of the numbers that you gave. You said there's 100,000 species within the broad category of fungi, and of course you mentioned penicillin, is one of those. 38,000 species of mushrooms. I had no idea. I knew there were a bunch, because up here in the Pacific Northwest, we have all kinds of mushrooms that grow around. It's really an adventure this time of the year when you're walking around and you suddenly see this yellow mound in front of you, and you look down and you realize it's a unique species of mushroom fungi that has just created this magnificent dome of form, and it's just it's really inspiring to see how these fungi come up in places you would never imagine they would even come up in. But 38,000 species, who takes time to count all of these?
I know
things?
They are so prolific, and they seem to just appear overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they don't have chlorophyll like plants do. They don't provide energy, you know, from the sun. They are said, because they come out at night, they are said to have lunar energy,
mm-hmm.
Which provides intuition and creativity. And... which is not surprising, I guess, when you think of all those hallucinogenic mushrooms, you know, that we've heard about, you know, way back.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Now,
but,
go ahead.
Yeah, you know, there's so many wonderful varieties, you know, and people like to go out and collect them, and it's kind of like an Easter egg hunt, but of course, you know, you've got to know what you're doing, too, because of certain poisonous varieties.
That's very true. Now, you have some interesting information about mushroom, and one of these points I knew about because in Washington State, and this was discovered in 1992, there was a mushroom which covered 1,500 acres in Washington
yes.
State. Now, this is underground, but the one that blew me away was one you called a honey mushroom, and it's in the Malheur National Forest in eastern Oregon, our next-door neighbor, and it covers about 3.5 square miles underground. How in the world did they ever, how could they measure something underground like that? Because this is again, underground. There might be buildings above. How in the world were they able to measure this?
Well, that's an interesting question. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I know that they, you know, they have sort of like a thread-like growth underneath the ground that sort of just spreads.
Well, this is just amazing. And what blew me away,
that makes
too,
them one of the largest organisms on Earth, I would say.
Yes, and you have a point of information which really gives credence to the fact that so much of what we know of Saudi Arabia once was very tropical, because there was a 20-foot-tall fossil. There was a mushroom that was found, 20 feet tall. I'd love to see the photo of that.
I should have come up with one for my book.
That
but
is
yeah,
unbelievable.
It is. It's so
but again, that used to all be a very tropical area. Now, why is it that you, in your material, you say that a mushroom has a genetic makeup that is very much like those of us of the animal kingdom rather than the plant kingdom?
Right.
How can that be?
The DNA is actually closer to humans than it is to plants, and I think that's because they mimic human respiration. In other words, you know, like we do, we take in oxygen and give off carbon dioxide, whereas plants, it's just the opposite. They take in carbon dioxide and give off oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why they are so beneficial to humans. You know,
I know that they've got tremendous nutritional value, which I think for many, many people, when they look at the little lowly mushroom, and they'll say, it's got thiamine, B1, it's got riboflavin, B2, and niacin, B3. They're high in fiber. This little thing in front of me that I can hold in the palm of my hand has all of that. Now, tell me how you did your research about the commercial farms, because to feed the massive amount of people that we have today, I mean, there are billions of these mushrooms that are going out every week all over the country and even outside of the country. Tell us about those farms and how they're able to produce so prolifically.
Well, they grow them in underground in caves, and Pennsylvania is a great mushroom growing part of the country, as well as the Northwest, and I think they've got it down pretty well. They know how to cultivate them where they grow pretty quickly.
Well, I'm absolutely amazed, because you said in here that the company Phillips is the Phillip Mushroom Farms. They're the largest producer of specialty mushrooms, and I had not heard of the lion's mane mushroom. Portobello, I'm familiar with. Cremini, I'm familiar with. The trumpet, a little bit. I don't have a lot of understanding about that. But I thought for a lot of vegetarians, you know, here we've got special occasion dinners that are going to be coming up, and sometimes we have among our guests, we have vegetarians. And I wonder if vegetarians are really aware of the protein value in mushrooms. Again, you look at that little mushroom and you think, protein? You've got to be kidding. But it does have a lot of protein.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are some vegetarians that are consuming some meat alternatives from mushroom, and maybe they don't even realize it. There is a product called corn, and it is a fungal protein. And it's very popular in England as a meat alternative. But the other thing I'm thinking of for, of importance to vegetarians is that mushrooms are the only vegetarian source of vitamin D, other than sunlight, of course.
Now, what is it in the mushroom that that makes it possible for this to be a vitamin D source? We always want to think of vitamin D coming from cod liver oil or some fish oil, krill oil, something like this. How is it can come from the mushroom?
Yeah, something, maybe that's, again, getting back to their DNA and resembling humans in certain respect. They're able to manufacture small amounts of vitamin D. But what they have actually is a pro-vitamin D that when we eat it, it's converted into the active vitamin D. And that would be similar to beta-carotene. You know, fruits and vegetables contain beta-carotene, and we eat the fruits and vegetables, and we convert that into active vitamin D. And so it is with the vitamin D in the mushrooms. In fact, some of the mushroom companies you mentioned, they are exposing the mushrooms to light very briefly, and that converts the provitamin D, the active form. And so one serving of mushrooms is providing you with full day's requirement of vitamin D.
Does that have something to do with ergosterol?
Yes. Yeah. And the provitamin form is called ergosterol or ergosterol, and it's converted into ergocalciferol, vitamin D2.
That's amazing. That really can have a big effect for people that are vegetarians, because so many of them do not get enough nutrition. This I've seen. And this is a very valuable food that can be converted. And you said for protein purposes in your book, again, it is very useful. Now, for those of you that might want to become mushroom hunters, that's great. But make sure you have an expert mushroom hunter, because a lot of people get very, very serious poisoning issues if they don't know their mushrooms and know them well. Now, you mentioned a moment ago how in Chinese medicine, the mushroom was highly valued. And reishi is a mushroom that I don't think I've ever had. The shiitake I've had and the maitake I've had. But you say medicinally, these mushrooms are very, very important, like with tonics. Tell us a little bit about the history in Chinese medicine with the mushroom.
Well, reishi is a good example. And by the way, reishi is very tough and woody. So, you know, you're not going to find that in the market, you know, and be able to, you know, add that to your recipes. That is something that is taken in supplemental form, preferably as an extract. But reishi has been recommended for about 2,000 years in China as an anti-aging remedy and to improve the capacity of the mind. It's routinely recommended for anybody over 50. It's what they call a supreme Shen tonic. And a Shen tonic is something that invokes peacefulness and strengthens the nerves and changes how we perceive life.
Fascinating stuff. Now, there are all kinds of mushrooms, as you said, 38,000 species. I don't know who had time to count all of these, but this is amazing. There are certain mushrooms that grow in Florida and South Carolina, and then the Japanese found out about them, and they decided to cultivate them. What are these mushrooms? They're called the mushroom of God, but why are they so good? What's so different about them?
Yeah, the Japanese just have this great appreciation, as I would say Europeans do as well, for mushrooms. And they are very much aware of the health benefits. One that they kind of caught on to was the one called agaricus. They call it the mushroom of God, and that was indigenous to the mountains of southeast Brazil. And, you know, interest grew when it was noticed that the inhabitants there experienced a lower incidence of disease and lived longer than average. And so the Japanese were quite interested in that, and that's where a lot of the research is going on right now, particularly with supporting immunity.
You bring up a Russian mushroom, and you have a photo in your book, Mushrooms for Health and Longevity, that I found really fascinating. I've seen mushrooms around the bases of trees, and sometimes there's a fungi here in the Pacific Northwest that I will see that forms like a little lip on a tree. I don't know that that would be put in the mushroom family or not. I know it's a member of the fungi family. But this was really intriguing to me because it's called chaga, C-H-A-G-A, and it is what's called a birch tree mushroom. And the Russians have been using it for centuries, and the information about this mushroom is absolutely fascinating. The picture you've got is that it grows up on the trunk of a tree. It's way up off the ground. And it looks like a black mass that has just formed a belt around the body of the tree.
Right.
And the Russians, because many of them couldn't afford tea, they would dry this and use it as a tea. And these were people were healthy and hardy. Tell us about that.
Right. You're absolutely correct. They were drinking it as a tea, and they were using it as a natural medicine to treat ulcers and other ailments, and tumors and so on. And that started to attract attention when it was found that there were very few cancer cases in the health records of these rural residents. And they attributed that low cancer rate to this custom of drinking a hot water extract of the chaga mushroom.
You have a fungi called a caterpillar fungi. Cordyceps might be, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yes.
But I thought this was, according to your research, it was discovered 1,500 years ago because herders noticed in China that their animals, after they would eat this fungi, mm-hmm. had a lot more energy. Let's chat
yes.
about this, because this medicinally could have such an impact on people. Let's say someone had a heart attack or had pneumonia, or, you know, and they were elderly. It actually doesn't make any difference what their age is, but mm-hmm. an older person might be open to taking some. What is this, and what kind of research have they found out about this caterpillar fungi?
Yeah, this is very strange. This is a fungi that actually grows on the head of an insect, a caterpillar. And you're right, you know, the Chinese herders noticed that when their animals ate it, they became more energetic and more frisky. And nowadays, it is mostly cultivated. You know, it's not the wild cordyceps, you know, find on the caterpillar. But cordyceps is a very good sexual tonic, although it's not quick acting. It's something that works best, you know, when taken over time. It's also a very good athletic tonic.
Mm-hmm.
And
you said the Chinese used it, and their athletes just had a superb performance.
Right. Yeah, they were. This was a group of women athletes who were able to shatter some world records, and they attributed their success to their training program and the cordyceps.
Mm-hmm. Now, could someone go into an Asian store and buy this? because you're going to use small amounts. Where do you find it?
Yeah, I would say you would most likely be able to find it in a Chinese herb store. But, mushroom supplements are carving out their own niche in natural food and supplement stores. You'll find a great variety of mushroom supplements in your local health food store. And if you're not sure which one, is best for you or which one you might want to try, then you may want to go with a mushroom combination. I like mushrooms, but I don't eat them every day, and I like to take a mushroom supplement along, with my vitamin supplements.
Let me pose a question to you. There has been a battle that's been going on where there is a potential takeover of the supplement environment, and people have really been battling that. There have been different organizations and groups that have wanted to make it not easy for the individual to go into a health food store and buy whatever they wanted to buy. And I know that it's not regulated. Is there a major threat as of this December? I received some material, and I didn't know whether it was accurate or not. It was just something floating around the Internet, that there is a bill in front of Congress at this time to really close down the supplement industry?
Yes. I don't have all the details of it, but I think you're referring to the new dietary ingredient law. And they want to, my understanding is they want some kind of regulation on dietary ingredients that have been in the marketplace now for a very long time and have proven their safety. But for new dietary ingredients that are being introduced, they're also including ingredients that have been part of the part of supplements for a long time now, and this kind of regulation, I just think is just overreaching, and it's making it very difficult for supplement manufacturers to offer the products and to keep them reasonably priced. But I think you could probably find more information on the internet about that. I know it's a lot of discussion about that right now.
Well, again, this is something that's been floating around. Maybe some of my listeners have more information on it than I do, but I know this has come up through the years. And I know
we have to be vigilant.
Well, I think that it is important to be vigilant, and I think it is important to know that whatever is stated on the bottle, that it's actually a fact. But something that, too, I have seen evolve, which I'm sure many of the people listening to the show have seen evolve, that there are pharmaceutical companies that are really wanting to get into the nutritional supplement area because many people are saying, I want to be well, and they're looking for various alternatives. And that's what I find so interesting about your book on mushrooms. It gives another perspective. You have the turkey tail mushroom. That has, you state in your book how much how much research has been done on that. The enoki, golden needle mushroom, that is very good for cellular immunity and potent anti-tumor properties. Then you have the lion's mane, which is a mushroom for the brain, and also it's been used for cardiovascular, nervous, and respiratory systems. And I just find this information so fascinating. And there were two scientists in 1986 for the discovery and isolation of NGF. What is NGF?
NGF stands for nerve growth factor. And yes, you're right. In the 80s, there was a Nobel Prize awarded for the isolation and discovery of nerve growth factor. That's a protein that's involved in the maintenance, survival, and generation of nerve cells during adult life. And the problem is you can't administer it, orally. It can only be done as injection. Mm-hmm. But they found there are certain constituents in lion's mane mushroom. They're called haresinones. that actually are able to stimulate nerve growth factor. And as a result, lion's mane is now being used as a treatment for dementia, particularly an extract form called amiloban.
You mention relative to this with a dementia, with Alzheimer's, and I know with Alzheimer's there's a particular protein that starts developing in the brain that creates a problem. And it, the term I believe as you have in here is beta amyloid. And that when that starts to accumulate, then that's the onset of what we would call Alzheimer's. And I'm assuming, and I perhaps shouldn't assume, that they have become aware of this because of the technology we have where we can take pictures of the brain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and of course, rat studies, you know, where they sacrifice the rats, they able to measure the amount of nerve growth factor and the beta amyloid plaque.
There is Mishima, a woman's island. It is a mushroom, and it grows on mulberry trees on an island that is located southwest of Japan. Now, mulberry trees are also loved by silkworms, correct?
Yes.
So this tree is doing double duty.
Right.
And the Asian people have used this mushroom for so many different things. And I look at it, and it's a very plain kind of mushroom, but they're doing research with this for breast cancer. Why has this become so significant?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's one of the common properties of medicinal mushrooms is their ability to activate cellular immunity. So, you know, they're looking at a lot of different mushrooms, and it turns out this particular one called Mishima is able to inhibit breast cancer cells in vitro in test tube studies.
This is fascinating information.
This is actually in the British Journal of Cancer, a major peer-reviewed journal.
This book has so much information in it, and it's beautifully illustrated. And for those of you listening, it's something you might want to have in your library. If you're into wellness, exploring different modalities to keep yourself well, or maybe to even help out someone you know that needs some help, this is a fascinating read, Mushrooms for Health and Longevity. Ken, what is your website that people can go to find out more about you and about this book?
NutritionMusician.com.
Nutrition Musician. Hey, I like that. NutritionMusician.com. And I really think that for anyone, whether you're a fan of mushrooms or if you just want to explore a whole level of information and presented in a beautiful way. The photographs in here are just absolutely incredible, and his tidbits of information regarding the mushroom, different ways that it can be purchased. He even has some recipes in the book, which are just wonderful.
Thank you for those kind words.
Well, it's really a powerful book. Even though it's not a big book, it is a powerfully done book with so much information that I think really offers people choices that they didn't know were available to them.
Well, I tried to make it consumer-friendly.
Well, I think you accomplished that, Ken. Very easy to read and very much written for the layperson, and I think that that is very important, and they can investigate it to as great a degree as they want. Go to nutritionmusician.com, and you'll find out more information about mushrooms for health and longevity. The Asian culture is way ahead of the Western world when it comes to certain understandings. But I think as we open up our lines of communication, we're going to become more aware ourselves, and this book is a big step towards achieving that. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you, Ken Babel, for being with me today. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open, and if you want to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, this is what you do. You pick up the phone and call 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I am so intrigued always with different points of information that's available to us through the various guests that I've had. Who would have thought that the little mushroom could have so much power in it? Now, again, I encourage you, if you're interested in wild mushrooms, be very alert and very aware of the areas you go to. I'll give you an example. Not too far from where I live, we have a lot of wild forest area. Well, the mushrooms will come up, and sometimes some of the species get to be as big as a dinner plate. And they're just beautiful to look at. And I've even seen the ones that you have cartoons that mimic, where they're red with little white dots on them. Yes, we've had some of those grow in our neighbors' yards. But there are all kinds of varieties. And if you don't know your variety, you can poison yourself. And poisonous mushrooms will destroy the liver within a very short period of time. So you really need to be knowledgeable and don't go mushroom hunting without someone that can help you. But what I started to tell you is that in our area, this one stretch of road where I used to see all kinds of mushrooms, different colors, just it was just beautiful to see every fall season. Well, I happened to take my Scotty Victor on a little stroll walking down this street, and I stopped cold, because I remembered that during the spring of this year, for some reason, they sprayed a massive amount of poison. And the poison went out, and it just went through all kinds of plants. And I noticed where mushrooms used to grow, they weren't there. But on the areas that the poison had missed on the outskirts, there were some mushrooms that were coming up. And I thought, you know, they would probably absorb the toxins that had been sprayed. So it's wise to be alert. If you're going to do something like this and you have someone that's with you, make sure you go into areas that are not polluted with any kind of toxic pesticide. You don't want to do that. It's just a real dangerous thing to do. And something, too, that someone, digressing just a little bit, here in the Pacific Northwest, we have blackberries and things like this. Remember, if you have anything that's growing around a toxic area, that plant is going to soak it up. So if you take berries from off the side of roads where there's a lot of pollutants from oil and other things, that's going to be in the plant. So you need to be thoughtful. And I know here in the Tacoma area, we had a big, big challenge with arsenic that got into the soil because we had a company called Asarco that spit stuff out for years because there were no regulations regarding on the amount of pollutants that could go out of the processing system into the environment. And they're still finding what we call hot spots where there's a lot of arsenic in the soil and you don't want to grow anything in it, like potatoes or vegetables or anything like that, because the toxicity is going to go right into whatever would grow up. It might look beautiful, but if it were analyzed, you might find if you had toxic soil, your plants are going to be toxic too. So you want to be very alert about that. But this information, there's just so much wonderful information about nutrition and things that can be used to encourage wellness. And who knew that the little itsy-bitsy mushrooms that we see abundant in so many stores had so much to offer us. So sometimes to pay attention to what other people in other cultures and other countries are doing. It's really fascinating stuff. Well, I wanted to share a story with you. And this goes back to 1971, September. Oh, by the way, if you want to call in and chat with me, you can do that. 888-627-6008. Well, there was an actor, George Pfeiffer, in 1971. He was living in London, and he was working on a novel, The Girl from Petrovka. Now, he wanted to have this released in the U.S., and he went through the book word by word, and he had all kinds of notes in the book where he wanted things Americanized because it had a very British flow to it. Well, a friend wanted to borrow George's copy of the book. It was the only one he had. And his friend said, "I won't lose it." Well, guess what happened? The friend lost the book. Well, there was a film version of his story starring Anthony Hopkins and Goldie Hawn called The Girl from Petrovka. It was being filmed, and it was about a Russian ballerina, an American, a reporter. It's a love story. Well, the KGB did not like this story theme. And he went to check out the film, and there was this real desire, to try to find the lost book. So they started searching bookshops in Charing Cross Road for a copy of the original, but no luck. And the Leicester Square Underground Station Hopkins went to because he wanted to catch the subway and go home, and he noticed something sitting on an empty bench. Well, he was a little suspicious. Even back in the 70s, they were very concerned about bombs being left around. So the actor, Hopkins, went over and looked at the item very thoughtfully, was very careful, and found it was a book. And when he looked at the book very carefully, it was the original, The Girl from Petrovka. Well, the actor Hopkins finally was able to get in touch with the author, George Pfeiffer. And the author, he was talking to him about his book, and he said, "I don't have the original copy. The original copy was given to a friend, and they lost it." Well, it was a very, very wonderful thing that Hopkins was able to do. He was able to hand him the novel. It had all the writing, all the notes in it, everything that was there because it was the original copy, and he told him the story about finding it in the subway. It just was something that in a million years, Pfeiffer never expected to find the book again. And here it was, in his hands, with all of the notes, everything, just as he had done it when he gave it to his friend who had lost the book. Don't you love the unique and unusual? I do. Just so sometimes that what really belongs to you can come right back to where it's supposed to be. Well, let's take a look at what we've got. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking turkey with one of my favorite people, Leo Pearlstein. Leo has more recipes than you could ever imagine. This is a man who is involved in working with research on food, and he has the joyful opportunity of being a taste tester for a lot of these recipes. And so we are going to be sharing some of them with you tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we're going to talk about practical conscious creation. Do you want to be a better manifester in your life about what it is that you really want? Well, we'll be finding out about that. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about physical wellness and how to deal with pain. Now, you've been hearing the Topperson ads, and this is a product that my family uses, and I'll tell you, I've known so many people that have. And it was developed by Leo Pearlstein, who's going to be with us on Friday. This is a man that worked in the medevac units in Vietnam. Real tough, tough, hard work. And we are going to find out why this works, why it helps to get rid of pain. And more than that, as a researcher, as you might say, an investigator of nutritional values, this is a man that is going to share with us a lot of his insight and information that in developing this product that he has learned so that he can help people enjoy a life of quality, free from a lot of discomfort and using a homeopathic formula that you would never believe possible. Now, by the way, I want to let you know that if you decide you'd like to explore the use of this product, want to test it out, they are offering a 30% discount to any of my listeners, and all you have to do is call the company at 800-959-1007. Mention the Donna Sebo Show or code DS, which is for Donna Sebo, 30, and you will automatically get 30% off, and they are offering a special holiday sale. So if you know of anybody that's in a lot of pain, why don't you consider it? It is something, again, I know it works. It's that simple. There's no gimmicks. There's no woo-woo here. It really works. So I hope that you'll check it out. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a moment. When we come back, I've got some stories to share with you, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And if you want me to share information about you, for you, give me a call, 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Topperson, pain relief and healing cream. Topperson relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Topperson and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo directly. You can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, I've got a recipe for you for jumbo stuffin' muffins. Isn't that cool? I like that, jumbo stuffin' muffins. Also, I've got something for a cranberry orange mold. You know, when the holiday season starts coming our way, there sometimes, I don't know about you, but I'll go, gee whiz, what could I fix this year that would be a little bit different? If you're like me, you like some of the standard fare, and sometimes you have people in the family that they either just like turkey or they just like, you know, prime rib, or they just like this, or they just like that. They really don't want certain aspects of a menu changed. But I always like to do something a little bit different. I remember one year when I took chicken breasts and I pounded them thinly, and then I made like little chicken wraps like you would a tortilla roll where you'd roll them, but I stuffed them with a little bit of ham, just a thin slice of ham and cheese, and then I made a mushroom sauce that went over it, and I baked it and then sprinkled some sharp cheese over the top. Oh, my goodness. People just went gaga over it. We had certain standard aspects of our meal that we had. But I like to do that. How about you? Do you like to try something that's a little bit different? Well, I think it's always good to have things that are sort of unique. And this is one recipe that I'm telling you is really good. If you like cheese, now, this is wonderful as an appetizer. It's baked brie with fig jam. Now, if you've never had fig jam, boy, are you missing something. My sister-in-law, Judy, made the best. Oh, she used to make it all the time. But now that her kids are all grown up and she's no longer living where she had her abundantly fruitful fig tree, she doesn't make it like she did before. But, oh, my goodness, talk about happy to get fat real fast. Man, fig jam is the best. Well, I found this recipe for brie. It makes a great appetizer, and you can serve it with crackers, or if you have a fresh bread, you know, like a French bread that you toast lightly or whatever you want to do. It just is a phenomenally delicious appetizer, and I've got another trick with brie that I think you'd like. So let me share this with you. You need one sheet of frozen puff pastry. And you can buy this stuff at the store. Making your own puff pastry is just a labor-intensive thing. So why not just make it quick and easy? You just need one sheet of your frozen puff pastry, and that needs to be at room temperature. You need one whole round of brie cheese, and they usually are about 15 ounces. And you're going to need a half a cup of fig jam. And if you don't have fig jam, I can tell you how to make it. Then you're going to need a half a cup of chopped walnuts, and you want to make sure that you toast them in the oven, because that's going to give that wonderfully, wonderfully delicious toasted taste to this. You're going to need one egg. It needs to be at room temperature. You beat it lightly. And then you're going to have crackers, like I said, or crusty bread. So this is how easy it is. Now, let me step aside for just a minute here and tell you what to do for fig jam. All right? You want to make sure you do this in a pot that is not aluminum, because it's going to have a metal interaction with the acids out of the figs. So you want to have a half a pound of fresh figs, and you want to take the little stems off. You want to put in with the half pound of fresh figs, you want 6 tablespoons of sugar, 1 teaspoon of freshly grated lemon zest, and 1.5 tablespoons of lemon juice, and the fresh is better. You can use the powdered if you want, but get fresh. You can get lemons almost everywhere. Now, you stir this up, you bring it to a boil over medium-high heat, and you stir it until the sugar is dissolved, and then you reduce to a simmer, stirring often until it's thick. That's going to take you about 10 or 12 minutes, and you just don't want to leave it. You want to make sure that you're stirring it because it can burn so easily. So you let it cool. That you can do in advance. That's going to make about 1.5 cups of fig jam. Okay, let's get back to the brie. You're going to preheat your oven to 375 degrees. You want to sprinkle a little flour onto your surface, if you've got a breadboard or whatever, and you want to gently roll out your puff pastry until it's big enough to cover the brie, which is about a 9 by 10 inch square. You put your brie in the center of that puff pastry. put your jam, spread it real thick on top of the cheese, put the nuts on top of the jam, and then you take the ends of the pastry up over the cheese like a package, and you pinch the edges to seal it. You take and put it on a jelly roll pan. I'd suggest putting a piece of parchment paper there underneath it. Brush the brie crust with egg, and then you put it in your preheated oven at 375 degrees, and you bake it until it's golden brown. You want to make sure that it doesn't have any white egg spots. You want to make sure it's golden brown. It's going to take about 35 to 40 minutes, and you serve it warm. Oh, it is so good. It is absolutely yummy. And another trick that you can do with brie, and this is what a friend taught me, and she did this as an appetizer because she said, I'm lazy, I want something really simple. She took the brie, and she put a heavy amount of sugar on top, and then she put the rack in the broiler oven on the low level and put the brie underneath the broiler until the sugar crystallized. You don't let it burn. It just crystallizes and bubbles on top of the brie, and you serve it. And the mixture of the sugar in with the cheese is awesome. Well, I know you may say, sugar, Donna, you shouldn't be using the sugar. Oh, for heaven's sakes. This is the time of the year when you want to try things, you want to do things differently. So those are two delicious recipes for baked brie. It's an appetizer that you can have with a little bit of wine, sparkling cider. Just about everybody loves it because that brie gets so yummy and gooey, and oh, it's just so much fun to have. And kids like it too. They really, really do because it's a very mild cheese. Donna Sebo here. My goodness, it seems like the time just flies by so quickly. 888-627-6008. Don't forget, have your pad of paper handy tomorrow because Leo will be sharing a lot of good recipes. We're in the time of the year where we want to talk about food and things to fix that are easy and not going to take a lot of time, and we're going to be doing that tomorrow. Well, I wanted to share a story with you by Lisa Boyce. She is out of Connecticut. And she just had an experience. It was just, at one moment, it just absolutely panicked her, and in the other moment, she just was filled with a lot of joy. And this is what happened. One day, she was on her way to an appointment. Her dog, Bailey, was right there by the door. She opens the door, boom, he takes off. And she was just in a panic. Well, she went after her, got her back into the house, and she was so stressed over this, she decided she was going to stop at a fast food place and get something to drink. But she found that there was, when she was in the drive-thru line, that there was this very impatient driver that was honking at her. Now, if ever that's happened to you, you know that that is not a pleasant experience. Mm-hmm. None of us like being honked at. Well, she just said, oh, I'll ignore him. You know, he must be having a bad hair day, so she was going to just ignore him. Well, the driver gets out of the car, comes up to her door, taps on the window, and she looks at him. And he says to her, I think you left your keys on your trunk. Well, she was just amazed. She went back to her trunk to grab them, and she said, to my amazement, I had left my regular set of keys on top of my car while I was chasing my dog. And without thinking, because I had an appointment, I got in my purse and I took my spare set out and used that instead. She said, what was amazing to me is that my keys didn't fall off my trunk. So this is what she did. Because she was in front of this driver, she told the cashier, because in the drive-thru lines, they already had hers, they had gotten his order. She said, I want to pay for the person's food that's behind me. Bring up his order with mine. Now, she never said a word to him, but as she drove off in her car, she knew that this gentleman was going to be very surprised that everything had been paid for. It was her way of saying thank you for someone being thoughtful enough to let her know about her keys on the trunk of her car. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have faith in people. There's a lot of good ones out there. And I know we hear about the schmucks on the radio and television newscasts. But remember, there's a lot more good out there than the bad. Have faith, because it'll reward you, sometimes in surprising ways, just like it did with this lady from Connecticut. You're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent time wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.